Singing and joy have always gone together for me, especially at Christmas. I'll never forget my first Christmas duet. It was in Sunday school, and we were singing the song, The Friendly Beasts. And each beast, each animal, got a different line. And it was a duet, because I was the donkey. Or should I say, I was the back half of the donkey. I said the donkey, shaggy and brown. I carried his mother uphill and down. From there it was school Christmas concerts and gathering on Christmas Eve and holding a candle and singing Silent Night. There's so much joy with the songs of Christmas. Many years it was gathering with folks from the church to go caroling at the homes of shut-ins or in the nursing homes. And this year we're not going to be able to do that, but we are going to have a chance to carol right here out on the lawn of the church on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. I invite you to come. We're going to sing carols. We're going to have a great time as we worship outdoors. We may not be able to be indoors like we have in the past, but it can't stop us from singing. So we'll come together in song and in joy. Oh, there. The joy of singing God's praises. One church I was a part of had a tradition that they would sing the Hallelujah chorus right before Christmas every year. And they did it flash mob style, where they'd invite anybody who was worshiping to come on to the front and join the choir and sing in the Hallelujah chorus. Sometimes it seemed that there were more people up front than there were sitting in the congregation. And there's nothing like the joy of singing with 100 voices the Hallelujah chorus. But there's probably no song so connected with the joy of Christmas than that great carol, Joy to the World. Except, Joy to the World wasn't really written as a Christmas carol. Oh, it certainly fits. It fits this time of year. But you may have noticed that it never mentions a baby or a manger or Mary or the shepherds. Doesn't even mention the angel who announces, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." None of that is in the carol. Because Isaac Watt, who wrote this carol, wasn't intending to write a Christmas carol. What he was trying to do was to put the Psalms of the Old Testament into modern language. And he wrote it from the perspective of a Christian. You know, like so many songs, even today, he rewrote the song to connect with the people of his time who were Christians. And so, looking through the lens of someone who knows Jesus, he reworked the 98th Psalm. Now let me share with you what the 98th Psalm says in its original version. Although, not its original version, because I'll be reading it to you in English instead of Hebrew. But hear the Psalm. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. For his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blasts of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." Isaac Watts rewrote that psalm, and he published it in in his hymnal, which he called "The Psalms of David Imitated in the Language of the New Testament and Applied to the Christian State and Worship," which has to be both the longest and the most boring hymnal title in history. But see, Isaac Watts wanted to share the message, but he shared it as one who already knew Christ. When the psalm was originally written, it was hundreds of years before Jesus. But Isaac Watts knew the story because he came after Jesus. And he knew that all the things that this psalm talks about, he could see in the life of Christ. See, although this psalm was not about Christmas, it did have that three-part movement that I talked about a couple of weeks ago that Advent has. Remember when I said that Advent is like the old communion prayer, Christ has died for our salvation. Christ is risen, he lives now, and Christ will come again. That past, present, and future are all in Psalm 98. And Isaac Watts saw that, and he connected it to Christ. He connected it to the past, present, and future because he knew the story. And when you know the story, when you know Jesus, the past, present, and the future all take on deeper meaning and lead to deeper joy. I don't know if you're like me, but I hate not knowing. I'm one of those people that reads the end of the book first. Maybe you're one of those that likes to just kind of go along for the ride, but I get so much more joy when I know the end of the story, where the story is headed. It's the same way with recording sports as well. I know some of you will record a game and then you'll do everything you can not to find out what the score of the game was so you can watch it and be surprised. And so you won't look at your phone, you won't turn on the radio, and if anybody starts talking about the game, you'll just cover your ears and try not to hear. But not me. The first thing I do is find out how the game ended. And then I can go back and watch the game. And it's so much more enjoyable for me because I'm not stressed. I know that if the team wins and I watch it and I see them making so many mistakes, I can go, but I know how it ends. They're going to end in victory. And if the team loses, well, I might not even watch the game at all. See, I eliminate stress that way. I increase my joy. I like to know how the story ends because for me, that makes it so much more enjoyable. Maybe that's why I like watching the Hallmark Christmas movies with Tammy. I know I probably shouldn't admit that, but I kind of enjoy them because you always know how they're going to end up. The big city woman with the high-pressure job comes home to her small town to visit her ailing mother at Christmas time. And there she meets her high school sweetheart, the gorgeous hunk who runs the local children's charity. And they make a connection, and it seems that they're falling in love. But then 15 minutes before the end of the show, disaster strikes. She announces that she has to go back to New York. Or he mishears something and thinks that she loves another person, and Christmas is ruined. But then 5 minutes before the end of the movie, they are reunited and they live happily ever after. That's the plot of every Hallmark movie, at least all the Christmas ones. And I love it because you know the ending. You know how it's going to turn out. And Isaac Watts, he knew the ending too, not to Hallmark, but to the gospel. So when he hears Psalm 98 talk about God's marvelous deeds and the salvation, he knows that the salvation comes in Jesus Christ. And when he hears Psalm 98 talk about singing for joy and celebrating, he knows that that joy comes with Jesus. And when he hears Psalm 98 talk about how the Messiah, the Lord, will come and judge the world with righteousness, he knows that Jesus is that Lord who will come, judge the world in righteousness, and restore all of broken creation. He knows the story. And because he knows the story, he pours it into his reworking of Psalm 98. And it gives us that great carol that we have today. Joy to the world. So let's look at his words quickly before we end here. See what he does with them. And how he shapes them as a Christian. So that we sing them even now. Here at Christmas time. Verse 1 says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Kind of a strange phrase. We don't usually talk about that. We usually talk about has come or will come. But Isaac Watts knew that the Lord is come. The Lord is not something from the past who has come and he's come and gone. And he's not simply a hope for the future, but the Lord is come, is present with us even now. And if we open our hearts to him, we can receive him even today. Verse 2 says, "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy." And we hear in this echoes of Psalm 98, where it talks about the rivers and the seas and the mountains shouting for joy and singing aloud. But we also hear echoes of Jesus' words as he entered into Jerusalem and people were shouting his praises and his enemies told them to shut up. But Jesus says, even if they were not to speak, the rocks themselves would sing out. Verse 3, "No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found." Now, wait a minute. I don't remember hearing anything about curses and thorns in Psalm 98, because it's not in there. But see, Watts knew the story. And he knew the problem Jesus fixes is the fall. The problem Jesus fixes is sin and death. And so he jumps back and he grabs a little bit from Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about how Adam and Eve first turned away from God and towards their own way. And how as a result of that, all of humanity has fallen. And sin and death has entered into our world, and we've followed in that path ever since. Genesis 3, we find these words, "Cursed is the ground because of you," talking about Adam. "Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." All of humanity has been caught up in the struggles of sin and death ever since that first man, ever since the first people. That has been our lot, and not only have we dragged ourselves down, but we've dragged all of creation down. Even creation has been screwed up because of us. But we know the ending of the story. And so did Isaac Watts. The ending of the story is not that we're left simply as dust to suffer the curse. But Christ has come. Christ has come to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about this ending to the story. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man,
that we just heard,
and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Jesus then reverses that. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. We know the story ends with our salvation because of what Christ has done and how the curse is eliminated through the gift of himself. And then finally in verse 4, Watts writes, "He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." And wonders of his love. Joy to the world. It's not your typical Christmas carol. But what better time than now to hear the full story of how Christ, yes, entered into the world at Bethlehem, but how Christ is with us even today. And we can receive him if we make room in our heart, and how Christ will come again to restore all creation and all of us. It's a little odd for Christmas. In fact, it wasn't even written for Christmas. But what better time than this Christmas to remember the whole story, that Jesus has come, that Jesus is come, and that Jesus will come. Joy to the world.